Okay, we got another minute?
No.
We don't. I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, you please take the roll.
Commissioner Micklegg?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Excused.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Skowronski?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise during the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, you have before you the minutes of Thursday, February 17th.
Approval?
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Something like a Wisconsin basketball game on, so you may want to go through this pretty quick. Mr. Deedle?
The first item on the agenda is a proposed UDO text amendment to provide more flexibility in our parking standards. This was brought to the Planning Commission a month ago, and there was some discussion about some changes. We have made those. On-street parking has been removed. A little bit more information about this information an applicant would have to provide if they wanted to utilize this flexibility. And the idea that we're using, we've revised. Before, we were thinking of doing waivers similar to the 27th Street standard does. More discussion among staff, including Mark Roberta, came up with another idea. Utilizing the standards that we currently have now, different parking standards for different uses, using those numbers, but creating a range around that number. 10% above, so somebody could go 10% above or 25% below, and those numbers were, that's not scientifically created or determined. We just looked at previous projects to make sure that we were less than the range the Plan Commission has been granting in the past. And saying, here's a range. If an applicant comes in with parking within that range, there should usually not be a problem, and it should be okay. They don't have to give us detailed information. However, if staff thought for this particular reason, this particular instance, there is some concern we have with that number they gave us, even though it's in the range, we would bring it to the Plan Commission's attention, just like we do temporary uses where there's something strange or unusual. And then the Plan Commission would review that. If they thought it was fine, it would be done. If they also thought there was some concern with that amount of parking, even though it's in the range, then the Plan Commission would ask for the detailed information the applicant would have to provide. If they were outside the range, they would automatically have to provide this technical detailed information to justify why they're asking for the parking they wanted to propose. So the idea is flexibility first at the staff level, then at the council and Plan Commission levels.
Mr. Bennett?
This doesn't include residential parking.
No.
So in essence, this just builds in some flexibility and versus either rejecting proposals out of hand because that's what the ordinance said.
Right. And we have found enough instances in the past where Plan Commission or Council have, or the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals have granted different amounts of parking. So we've looked at some of those, only half a dozen or so we looked at that we just knew off the top of our heads to make sure that we weren't asking for a range that was bigger than that.
Okay. Any other questions?
I got a couple of questions on you. When you say significant, how do you define that?
For the significant
evidence, how do you?
We have examples.
Pages of this and that, or what?
The information they could provide us to justify what they're asking for would be things like they would do a parking study comparing similar uses to what they're proposing to do. They could bring out documentation. We have a couple books that talk about parking standards. They could reference documentation like that.
They'd have to go out and spend $1,000 to prove something significant.
Not necessarily. Now, if they were trying to do something that had never been done before in terms of parking, it could be expensive. But most of these people are looking at the easiest way to justify what they want to do. And the first thing they often do is just say, I know a another business just like mine that has the amount of parking I'm asking for. So then they give us that information about that example. So then that would be easy to do.
Okay. All right. I didn't know when to make this thing work.
Might have all over the country.
Yeah, I don't want this to get to the point where we're making it more difficult when we say significant evidence and they'd have to go through details and all the rest of the stuff. Things like that.
As I understand it, right now, the language that's in the Unified Development Ordinance does not provide real discretion.
Except for 27th Street, the variances before the BZBA, and then PDDs.
So this
otherwise,
is,
it's a number.
This is really asking the Common Council to basically trust the plan commissioners and the staff.
Yes, and some of these would be decided by the Common Council. If it's a special use, the council would be the one to have the final say on this.
Well, maybe trust the plan commissioners, not about the staff. Yes.
Alderman, do you have your hand up? As I'm going through several of them, but got down to bars and taverns, general restaurant. You got that 10,000 square feet. Now, is that usable space? And we went through this many times. Not that just because the building is 10,000 square feet, but it's got bathrooms in there and cloakrooms and everything else, and you can't count that. People don't occupy that for seating and eating. So you got to take that out of the 1,000 square feet.
Yes, we've consistently been doing that behind the scenes already.
Okay. All right, because there were several times that people came up and I says, how can you count that?
And we are mentioning that too in there.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's in it because that was a point of contention on some of the other people. And like the bar area, they put up a bar area. Well, you got the stools in front, but you can't count the bar area behind it because nobody's behind there. You got one guy or two guys serving the bar, and they're employees, and employee parking is separate anyway. So then you get down to the net area, you might have a 5,000 square foot building, yet you're coming down to, let's say, 3,500 square feet, and then that would determine the parking.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Ritter?
To my reading, what this does is it removes the arbitrary nature of parking regulations or space regulations, and anything that gets rid of that arbitrary nature has got to be good because we have with the parking capital of the world right now. So if we can be more context specific, anything that does that is going to be a good thing. So to my reading, I like pretty much everything about it.
In the previous draft, we were going to reduce the parking requirements, but the land was still going to have to be available. It's going to be green spaces, I would call something like that. Has that changed in this draft?
That's one of the options they get to utilize to justify their amount of parking, is they could say, we're going to provide an area for banking, or we're not able to provide an area for banking. So that's one of the criteria, banking, land banking, the parking. So they say, we don't want to provide all this parking now, or we tell them we don't want them to have all that parking now. But then we reached an agreement to say they'll reserve a part of their site for future parking if necessary.
And that's and on that basis, I'm willing to go along with this because I can see it's not at all unreasonable to do some experimentation and see if we can get by with less. And then especially, okay, if the land is still there, if it turns out that a particular use actually does need more parking. So I'm glad that PDD is there. The other concern I have is I think this puts more pressure on snow storage, our snow storage requirements, because we've seen just in the last few weeks how that could affect. And I know we were very pleased with the way Public Works responded and got the roads open, but I know there are people in other communities who complain about, how difficult it is to get to a store, and then once they get there, there's no place to park because everything is piled up with snow. So I think we need to be more concerned that we're providing enough room for that so that there'll be places for people to park because fewer places to park means there's less cushion that could be used for temporary snow storage, that sort of thing. So I just, it's another thing that we need to keep in mind and keep an eye on as we see what the results of this are, as we put it into practice and see what it leads to.
All right. Any other discussion? Alderman Skransky.
Again, the shared parking, how did you derive the 40%?
Now, the 40% is the B7 and the 27th Street District. So that's a current flexibility standard the 27th Street District has. It's one of the things that we wanted to bring up. If you guys like this proposal, At this point, we're only proposing to change the main part of the UDO. If we like this idea a lot, there's two areas where this won't match perfectly. One is that authorized variances the BZBA has, it may not be necessary to have those anymore with this flexibility.
So you're not changing anything with the 40%? That's existing language.
Yes, but we could if you wanted us to. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Possibility, see how it works out.
All right. Is there a motion to direct staff to prepare an ordinance and public hearing notice to make the recommended changes to the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Now turn to City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance Amendments to Division Chapter 15-9.0300 in accordance with the state statute changes set forth in 209 Wisconsin Act 376. Okay, I have all this memorized, so Mr. Beadle.
Another item that we've talked about a year ago, there was a state law change, part of one of the budget bills, about the time frames for subdivision plats, giving the developer more time to submit final plats after the preliminary plat, those kinds of things. So those were adopted, so they are part of state statute now, so we have to make those revisions because one of the points of that law change was that local ordinances can't be more restrictive than the state law. So we need to change some of our things about time frames in our ordinance to match the state law. So that's what we're proposing here.
Okay. Alderman Skronsky and Mr. Bennett.
So we are now concurring with the state and the same as the state, so we don't have two standards.
Correct. And okay. It's the changes the states are asking for are to give more time to developers.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, two things. I think some of these items that you ask a letter of credit for, that's hard for a bank to give a letter of credit for undetermined time. And I'm afraid this is not going to happen, and something's going to pop on this, and then they're going to include the staff of not following the ordinance. So I suggest you get the letter of credit. But I don't think a bank is going to, first of all, they won't provide indefinite letters of credit. And I don't know why we have to burden these people with letters of credit for this.
The
other thing, when it comes to final platting, I think we have to be damn careful. They talk about staging. If we approve a plat, it's recorded, the owner has a right to sell any property in that plat. If we only have a letter of credit for the first phase, what happens to the other phases if the developer goes belly up and he sold those lots in the second or third phase because he platted them? Once he plats them, he can legally sell the lots. Now, it's usually customary you put the public improvements in before you sell lots, but it doesn't have to be. So I agree with the, I don't have a problem with the state statute, but maybe put a parent in just so somebody doesn't misunderstand this, that whatever they plat, they must guarantee the improvements for. So you come in with a preliminary plat, and they want to do it in stages, which is, so they do stage one, okay. But they plat for stage one, they put a letter of credit up for stage one. And then for addition and all the other additions, then as they did, they don't have to put it up for the whole area they want to do that on the preliminary plat, but for everything they plat, they must have financial guarantee. Or they get started and they start selling lots, and people have lots, and they come to the city and say, why aren't they improved? And the city says, well, geez, we didn't do that phase yet, and then the developers belly up, and somebody spent a lot of money for nothing. So I think it's important, and I think I don't like the way the statutes are written because it kind of implies that if you have a preliminary plat, you want to do a final plat, but you're going to stage development, that the municipality can't require you to have a letter of credit for that. It works if you're careful that you only plat what you have money for the development. And I think I would like to see it parents, so something like that. So when somebody looks at it, some developer looks at it and says, hey, I got a preliminary plat approved. I'm going to plat the whole thing, but I'm only going to put a letter of credit for the phase one I'm doing. That ain't going to work.
Does anybody have an objection to placing that type of language in there?
No, I don't.
Mr. Ritter?
I've not said an objection, but just a question. The term is reasonably necessary. I know the city attorney's not here, so he can't ask, but is there a definition of reasonably necessary? Can we define reasonably necessary in a way that includes that sort of situation?
No definition that I'm aware of, but I didn't look for one either.
Well, I presume the city attorney has agreed with what's here. That might be one more thing to take a look at. Is there a definition of reasonably necessary that would prevent us from doing that? Or if not, could we essentially address that issue by putting in our own definition of reasonably, or some phrase as has been described here that would essentially say we're, you know, asserting that this is a condition of reasonable necessity?
Okay. Got to move, I think. It's
tell the audience to move.
Would you move to the right? Mr. Fowler?
Just how do we deal with this situation currently?
Same.
If we do not allow a developer to do
whatever they plat, they have to have a letter of credit for all the improvements with them, whatever they plat, and they've done that for the last 40 years.
So this change that we're talking about right here would then supersede that and make a change to it.
I'm not sure it's a change. It's just how a person may interpret it. Somebody, I think the law is not written very well. It would have come to me and I would have helped them.
It's your boss.
I think a little parent in there just to say whatever they actually develop or plat on a final plat, they have to have a financial guarantee for that.
And that will make it even clearer than our current language.
Yeah. Yes, can't you put a star on it, an asterisk, and down below define that?
However you do.
Yeah. But I think Mr. Ritter had a good comment, too. We'll make sure that we're not stepping on some other restriction or something in the
I have talked to the city attorney about this in the past, and he agrees the way we're doing it is the way it was probably intended. But it's unclear. Somebody look at this and say, I got a preliminary plat for a whole thing. Now, I have the right to plat the whole thing, but I'm only going to do one little phase, and that could be chaos.
But that, I think that's something we could address. If they choose to do that, then you know, then it becomes reasonably necessary to have the bond in order for the protection of the purchasers.
Right.
So something like that.
A little after that, I think, or probably a deal with help.
I think the language that you're talking about, Randy, would be better because it gives the purpose that we're not doing this to be restrictive. We're doing this to actually protect.
Yeah.
And to clarify.
And to clarify to protect the possible buyers of these lots and future lots. Yeah.
Do you, the staff understand what the Plan Commission is looking for?
Yes, sir.
And then the suggestions also by Commissioner Bennett. I was trying to remember his first name.
Yes.
Jack Bennett.
What's his name?
Captain
Jack Bennett.
Do we need a motion?
Yes. Would that be a motion to direct staff to prepare an ordinance and public hearing notice to make the recommended changes to the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance with the suggestions as identified by the Plan Commissioners?
Also move.
Second. It's moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item C, Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission Regional Water Supply Plan for Southeastern Wisconsin. Mr. Deedle?
This is a report that SewerPAC has prepared, a regional plan. They're asking for endorsement. Deals with the regional water supply. Jack Bennett is prepared to talk about it.
Yeah, just to be really brief, the plan really was to study the aquifers for Waukesha County and all where they get the water from the wells, but they did include this for all the counties, including Milwaukee County. And it basically just inventories what Franklin has. It basically says Franklin's going to have for a public water supply, Lake Michigan supply, which we have made a decision years ago to do. So just Tuesday night, our Board of Water Commissioners approved a very similar resolution and signed it, and that's been sent into the sewage district. I think this is a recommendation to the council, but surely there's nothing in this that causes any problem.
a good report, typical Silverback report.
Any questions? Now, is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution endorsing? Mr. Ritter.
On page 822 and following, it talks about possible expansions of environmental corridors to provide for, in instances where there is opportunity for the blue recharge. Would that apply to only communities or areas that are still essentially on well water, or would that have an effect on the areas of the Franklin that have primary or secondary environmental corridors that might get expanded?
Mr. Bennett?
The recharge for the wells that Franklin, the deep wells Franklin uses, is in western Waukesha County, where the shale layer ends, because the water cannot get through the shale to the sandstone until you get to the Kettle Moraine areas in western Waukesha County. But there would be a recharge for local limestone wells. So probably about a quarter of Franklin is still on individual wells. So and they are recharged basically locally. So Franklin doesn't work real well because we got about 150 feet of clay down, so it takes a long time for that water to get down. But they are recharged locally, so maintaining those natural areas do recharge the limestone aquifer where the individual wells get their water.
But does that create a situation where Silverback may be coming in and redelineating environmental corridors, and then that would have an impact on our plan?
If we go ahead with putting the rest of the land in the MMSD service area, we will have to comply with the new regulations of DNR, and that is protection of the environmental corridor, which very frankly we do anyway. But it would be a further restriction from DNR. We get a letter from them now if we get into environmental areas, corridors, saying, do everything possible to minimize damage to them. It will be a little bit stronger once we have a new sewer service area, because that's the one time they trigger is when you get to a new sewer service area. But all in all, Franklin is very much environmental. We're protecting those.
I guess I'm going to, I appreciate that. I guess the question I'm still getting, are we looking at a situation where they could expand? We've taken into consideration the areas that have already been delineated as primary and secondary environmental corridors. Is there a sense that Silverback would come in at some point and they find areas, expand them in any significant way, or can we be comfortable that they're basically, they might change them a little but not significantly, or do we have any information on that at all?
Mr. Deal?
My information would only be applicable to Brown County, because I did work on some recharge plants in Brown County, so I'm not exactly sure how Silverback would do it here. Up at Brown County, you could do a plan for your public well and identify the areas that you want to leave in a natural sense, those areas that have contaminants that you have to be aware of and you want to track, those kinds of things. And those plans in Brown County, yes, we'd say, here's a old farm field that's got drain tiles. If you broke those drain tiles, that would become a wetland and it could help recharge the groundwater. So that if we get that opportunity, we want to try to have that happen. So we would identify those as recommendations in our plans. I don't know if that's what Silverback is thinking, but if that's what they're thinking, we'd have to be doing one of these groundwater recharge plans in the first place. Then they would ask us to do something like that. At the time that I was working on this in Brown County, those plans were voluntary. No requirement to do them. They had grant assistance and all that kind of stuff to encourage you to do it. But there was no requirement to do it. I don't know if the laws have changed. And I don't know if there's a difference between Brown County and here.
Do we know when this would become effective and when, if any, roughly what timeline Silverback might be taking a look at the environmental corridors, looking for places where they should be redefined?
I guess, again, would be if we were doing one of those plans.
I think Mr. Bennett wants to answer.
With the Well, the environmental corridors are defined now.
Okay. So we're not.
So they aren't going to, as I see it, they aren't going to do any more defining. They're defined. We can get them. You can have a copy of those at your next meeting and look for them. I think they're generally on our on our overlay on that one they call environmental corridors.
Yep.
They have primary, secondary, and isolated wetlands, isolated
and
natural
just,
areas. I think
the only, if I could, the only thing I think, Randy, that's going to be of issue here would be isolated wetlands that might not be protected under any of these codes. And again, SewerPAC's going to be making recommendations. They are not going to be making rules. And I think they would leave it to the communities. What they're trying to do here, and again, Jack, jump in if I got this incorrect, but my reading of some of these water supply reports, they're really gearing this for the deep water aquifer, where the recharge areas for Waukesha and for our area are further west. Jefferson County has already paved over or developed some of those vital recharge areas for the deep aquifer. So I think this is an attempt to start to identify that we need not only these environmental corridors identified, but we need to put the people to the west of us on notice that there are aquifers for the deep water aquifer, which is the important one for the large drinking supplies. Now, for the individual wells,
and
that
my experience
would be where
is the public wells,
right.
Not individual.
Yeah.
The plans were only applicable to
public
wells.
So, you know, for an individual well, it should be done perhaps by the city, but that would be our, or the resident wouldn't have.
No one, none of those had ever been done in Brown County.
I don't think they've ever, I don't even think a resident has ever been asked to do one.
Yeah.
So, I don't think, in Franklin, that would not be, I don't believe, an issue. No.
I was told that our aquifer, the water that we drew, are drawing from, is actually coming from West Bend. It's maybe 300 feet down there.
Well, the whole thing's connected underground. I'm not a hydrogeologist, but what I've been told is that most, actually, it's probably coming from Lake Michigan right now anyway, because they've drawn down, Northern Illinois has drawn down, and Waukesha has drawn down so much that it's become a zone of depression in the waters.
We had USGS come in and do a study in Franklin. In fact, we worked with USGS to define the transmittability of the sandstone aquifer. We pulled Tuckaway's well and measured it in our well number 5, which is 68 in Drexel. But our water comes from western Waukesha County and still flows towards the lake, but it's not flowing at, you know, it used to flow like this. In fact, in Franklin and Waukesha and all, used to be artesian wells before they were pumped down. So you'd have areas where if once you punctured through the shale and got a hole down in it, or there was a natural one, you'd have a spring, a flowing well. Like there's one, what used to be one over on Bayview.
There's one on 68th Street too.
Yeah. But now, since communities have been pumping and pumping and pumping, they've drawn all that down, and now we're pumping out like 450 feet deep. But we're taking the water down at 12 or 1,300 feet, because that's where the St. Peter sandstone starts. But there's that layer of shale in between, which really protects it. And that shale starts running out when you start getting into mid-Waukesha County, and that's the recharge area of the Kettle Moraine, because then it can get through the gravel and Kettle Moraine. And our water that we drink here is about 1,000 years old.
Right.
It's taken that long for it to get to here. It's so slow it goes through this sandstone. The sandstone is doesn't have cracks like limestone, but it's porous, but it's slow.
Kind of like top shelf.
Yeah, and this transmissibility has a lot of 0.000s in front of it because it goes very slow.
It's not 12 gauge.
The problem is when you get that deep too, where we're getting a lot of radium.
And we got radium, that's it.
That's the other issue, yeah. But it's clean water.
Yeah. So, well, I had a question because if you know, there's issues like sewers. If you put a sewer in, would you be putting it down 30 feet? Would you be disturbing the water table?
Where you're at, if you're down by a river eating area. One thing with Franklin.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah. One thing about Franklin, it has such hard clay soil. And that's why the Department of Natural Resources likes Metro Landfills, which is Franklin. There's about 150 foot of clay underneath that before it starts getting down into the, I think even the shale. But you got 150 feet of soil that just doesn't let water go through it very fast at all. And so anything that, that goes through it is going to go so slow, and any bacteria is going to get oxidized or taken care of, and the soil will pretty much take care of any other toxic materials. It will absorb it as it goes. So that's why they like Metro Landfill. That's why Franklin is reasonably safe, even with limestone wells, where we don't have a shale, but we got that thick layer of clay above it. So that's why we don't see too many polluted limestone wells in Franklin.
But we will have eventually when our sewers start to age, because when you dig a trench in that clay, that becomes a French drain.
Yeah.
And when our sewers start to age, our INI problem could become...
But that's...
I'm sorry, but it's going to happen.
I've had three ICC meetings on this.
Now, sorry.
You've been here, you're just going on, what, a couple of years, 42 yeah. years? Have you ever had a problem with the water table?
No, complaints? But the sewage district sure had trouble with the water table yeah. their tunnel. But we never really had any problem.
We put the deep tunnel in, we had a lot of issues.
How deep is that?
300 feet.
What about 30 feet?
No, we've had issues. Again, we're running most of our MIS sewers are running down along the rivers. So you're coming up to an area where the groundwater starts to match the river. So when we're putting it down 30 feet, a lot of times we were in.
How many miles of sewer do you have?
300 miles.
You have 300 miles in Milwaukee County, or well,
in the sewage district, we have 300 miles of sewer. A little bit more than that now. It's probably 320.
160.
Have you ever had a problem with the water tank?
Yeah.
Complaints.
No complaints. We are engineers putting the stuff in and complaining. But we never
just
had
during construction.
Just during construction.
Okay. So I'm taking that you never had a complaint. The 300 miles. Of
oh, well, we've had lots of complaints, but not.
I've never heard any.
I don't remember hearing one about water.
Okay. Because I'm getting when I talk to other engineers, although you are the dean of engineers, I'm hearing that there's never been a problem with.
The deep tunnel had issues with water going in that we had, but then when it filled up, it recharged back. So, and we said that we were actually helping by pulling some of that water in and sending it to the plant.
I think you're the guy that told me that we got the water from the west
office.
When I asked you as an alderman, we're gonna have to check the tape on that. It's like 2005.
For Western Luxembourg County.
Saturday evening is.
I may run down.
It's raining.
The West Bend. Down that whole Kettle Moraine, the Ice Age Trail, I mean, that's kind of the area of the aquifer, and, it, you know, that whole area we draw from, but we generally get it from water. But our water's 1,000 years, it's been 1,000 years before it was on the surface, by the time it got to us.
Who has better water than us, Jim?
I don't, you know, Oak Creek has won some national awards for water.
So I'll never drink bottled water. The bottled stuff coming out of Oak Creek is better than any bottled water you can get just about.
I think that regular
so there, that's official. Fowler
yep.
says.
Fowler guarantees it.
Oh, man.
Okay.
We even ran some tests on it when I was in the lab.
All right. Anything else on this? Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution endorsing a regional water supply plan for southeastern Wisconsin as developed by the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Are we prepared to do the GIS stuff? I was trying to show Alderman Skronsky how to do this over at the open pantry store, and it wouldn't come up.
It doesn't work as Jack's fault.
I think they had a spam stuff. Thing on there.
First, I got to figure out how to get on it. Yeah, you're going to have to come over and the education, or I'll come down here. I'll bring the donuts.
You know, with a laptop, you got to open it first.
Really? Yeah. That no wonder.
And you can't shoot it.
No. I've done that several times.
As everyone probably knows, the city recently updated the GIS mapping property viewer on the website. It was a pretty significant investment.
$4 million.
That all? Jack had that hidden in his budget for a couple of years. That's the battleship that he was in.
Dear Alderman Taylor, Chairman of the Finance, it's only going to be $4 million.
So, yeah, was he Mayor Taylor asked the staff if we could show some of the features. So I'll just go through accessing the site. Just go to the homepage, www.gov.
Oh, really?
There's quick link right on the left-hand side that you can click on that.
Oh, it's coming. I see the little green bar.
There it is. Yeah, scroll down a little bit. Oh, there it is.
Holy Toledo.
You can accept the disclaimer of the property viewer.
We get the big screen in that.
Ooh.
Now, this is the very, very basic GIS. This is nothing
this
like...
This is off the website for public use, which keeps a little more basic, but, you know, from what I've dealt with, and I've played around on other sites to see their GIS, the cities, this is a very user-friendly site.
Me too. I've been all over the...
It gives me
country, all over the world.
So... right from the start, there's you can just zoom and pan with the mouse, move the map around, zoom in and out. There's also on the side, the left-hand side here, a tool that allows you to zoom in and out, and also these arrows that you can. Otherwise, all the tools and features are in the four icons up on top here. First one is the map, and there's navigation, tools, and a help icon. For mapping, it has map layers, overview map, bookmarks, and print. So you can click on map layers. Basically, the map layers are the information that's going to appear on the map. This is set up for just a base map.
How about zoning?
Zoning is one of the calling a primary layer. So if you want to see the zoning of the property, you can just check the box. We have zoning pops up very quickly.
Is that zoning, is that the current zoning?
Yeah, so I should mention these are 2010 aerials and the updated zoning.
Is there a key for anything like let people know what they're seeing, the R1, R, what to see?
As you zoom in.
Oh, it'll pop up.
Yep, and the closer you zoom, more layers you can see.
And if you do identify, it'll let you get there.
Yeah, that'll be
tells you about the
but you can also go within these primary layers here, for example, zoning. You can open that up, and there's kind of layers within those layers. So kind of the secondary group of layers. For example, you see the building here. So that's the building layer. If you don't want that on, simply uncheck it. So there's a lot of layers to play around with in here.
That's just very, very basic.
Yes. And there's also the overview map under the map icon. Basically, this is another feature just to pan at the library, City Hall, if I want to move over to
116th Street.
116th Street.
Yeah, correct.
For some, but no. So, 116th Street, you can move around quickly throughout the city.
Can you click on one of those properties right there?
Yeah, the identified one.
Maybe where that big link is there?
That's Captain's Kevin.
Okay. Okay.
Down a little further.
Yeah, identify. See if they got Kevin.
He's down a little further.
Yeah, I see he's by himself.
Unless he's not here tonight, we can make him a chairman of something.
You know what happens if you don't show up? They talk about your...
And I'll go through...
where they moved the,
I'll go through there's some other... they have to identify, so I can go through that.
Probably going to show foreclosed.
You can show still yet.
Yeah,
on the map icon, there's you can set bookmarks.
So you can come back to it.
So if you ever go to property often, you can set a bookmark to it so you can open it rather quickly. So zoom in to the extent that you want. So I can focus on the library here.
The red lines are the property lines?
Those are the property boundaries, correct. And so basically, if this is the extent you want to always get to the library, you can click to add a bookmark, name it, that we want. And now, if you were zoomed out, you can just click on that, and it just takes you right back.
Can you do a Google zoom in on a street view?
Yep. So under the tools, there is a Google Street View. Click on that. And if you look at the street area, another window pops up.
You can pop to the basketball game, but
oh, we have really a slow broadband.
It might be
there. It is. Well, it's dark though.
They turned the lights on.
Been on a roll all day, hey, Joel?
Yes.
What does happen is that Google doesn't have their street views because there are certain streets. If it's a newer area, Google won't have that. That just gives you the city view.
The continent view.
You'll be able to find the view here.
Get a lot of stuff up.
No, and really, it was quite a bit. And it has this problem, so
it's usually the way it goes.
Yeah, but I can go back to that.
Do you want to move us? For sure, we got to be. Do a click on this.
Yeah, we miss an highway.
Maybe the server's done.
Said mouse to check's got my highest.
Can you get the controller?
Yeah.
I was trying to get my fantasy baseball team the other night. Yahoo was down. So.
Yeah, the site had been working.
Play it lost.
Now, in our art view that we use at City Hall, we've got like 150 layers instead of the few that you have. So we can go to all those layers to bring them all in, except it starts getting a little cluttered.
Yep.
But so, yeah. I pull them in and I call Jack's cadastros, and that just says everything on. I got Jack's sewer and water, Jack's FEMA.
And this is what Jack is referring to, what staff uses, where there are
Captain Jim.
A lot of layers. If you look, we have aerial maps going back to 1936 on here. There's also a function called cryptometry, which is not working on this laptop. It has to be updated yet, but there are snapshots in front of you that shows the view. It's similar to the Google Street View.
But that's only available for
the
staff.
That's on staff.
Hit plus, show them software. The plus key, and see what comes up.
Could we have a terminal set aside for the planning commissioners? We could.
Mark's working on something.
Okay.
I'll go bring in all the layers.
So the commissioners wanted to come in and take a look at something?
Well, I can look, yeah. The district's got a similar GIS.
I think
they're all the same GIS.
You can't find them?
It's because you guys get all the money.
And we're not sharing.
But we got rows and rows of layers.
But yeah, along here is just a row.
And then you pull the ones in that you want to use on a regular basis. And you hit that plus key, and then you just click on the one you want, and it comes up. And then you can get rid of those, and they just go back into the main table. So you don't have 150 that you have to look at. You pull the ones you want. And sometimes you get, put it back. Fire districts for the police, the fire department, and squad districts. And there's just all kinds of things on there that you can weighing in, aldermanic districts, senatorial districts, supervisory districts, all kinds of census data that you can bring up.
When you do in the public hearings, you go in there and you create a certain zone, right, X amount of feet, and then this thing generates the labels and then puts them right on the stuff. Where it used to be that this was all labor-intensive and all manual.
We do a sewer project, because all we do is just make a little box up along the road or sewer, whatever it is, click it, and then all the names come up. It highlights them. It calls them selecting them. And then we could put that in and bring that up into an Excel table without touching it.
To the guys in the field, do they have this available on their laptops?
None of us do yet, but
our sewer and water people have all the sewer stuff. They have all the as-built, so they can actually get into all the as-built files and look at not just the sewer itself, but if they click on the sewer, up come the as-built.
So they
click on the manhole, they get the whole inventory that was done on that manhole and the history of it. The sewer, when it was last cleaned, I mean, the whole table comes up. And they have that out in the field. Now, it's not live because we don't change the sewers that often. So we burn a disk or put it in their hard drive, and then we update it. Todd updates that about once a month. So our guys have that right on a laptop out in the field.
So they used to have to drive back into the shop and pull out all the maps?
Yeah, that water main break, they'd have to go back into the shop, figure out where the valves are. Now they have all that right on the laptop.
It's a great system, but you still have its limitations on the fact that it's, particularly with older portions of the community, you've got to make sure some of it's been ground truth, because sometimes the as-builts are great, but in some cases we don't have as-builts, and so a lot of times they approximate the location of the sewer. But I don't think Franklin has that.
Franklin doesn't have any sewers older than 1965, and any
but some
water
communities where there are older sewers, everybody expects you to have this kind of capability, but in some cases those sewers, and there are abandoned sewers that were never mapped. So when you're digging down and you find a sewer, you think you're hitting one sewer, then you find out it's abandoned, and you go to the next year. There might be two sewers in some of these.
We need to go through from 36 to 2010 and do some sort of like a movie projection on that.
Well, the development's really incredible from 1936 in the county.
Right.
So those really aerials aren't very well, though.
Nick, go to the high school.
I think they were flown by a biplane or something.
You've got the FEMA floodplain down there, okay?
And all the cross sections. The soils, we got all the soils on, and we've got the table that tells you what 56. Six soils can be used for, what area?
Yeah, aerial 56. There wasn't even land there.
Wow.
Can I oh, here he comes.
You may not have the whole thing done, right? Or they got it?
Oh, they got it on.
By golly.
That's very good.
That's from 56?
So, yes, this is 1956.
Wow, look at that.
The old hemp farm.
There's much there, is there?
Franklin High School.
There's our new, a lot overlay on that.
Subdivisions there.
Was
that a proposed subdivision behind high school? Was that already in?
No, that what you're seeing is what we have now on that layer. He can turn that layer
on.
Yeah,
that's the subdivision layer.
That's what's there now. And the embarrassing part about what we build in wetlands, the wetland maps, the soil maps particularly show that they were wetlands. So sometimes you've got a whole subdivision that has been built because back in the 50s and 60s
and
70s.
And they wonder where their sump pumps from.
Yeah, we built a subdivision.
So that was all farm field?
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I would presume that dark is wooded.
How did they decide that that was the place for the high school?
That was a hemp farm.
It's a what?
Hemp farm.
And that's a marijuana. No, hemp is marijuana.
That's right.
No,
they grew World War II. They grew hemp for
rope.
We never grew that.
Right.
Yeah, but that's where they get marijuana from is hemp.
Some.
But the stuff they used for hemp wasn't that.
Not that.
The chemically active THC wasn't.
Yeah, but if you're going to school on an old hemp farm, you gotta make some hay out of it.
Right.
Their education is very high. High school.
I forgot well, that dark is all wooded.
Well, this is better than the basketball. I didn't know you could do that.
So those houses that they just tore down are still there. They were unceremoniously torn down.
They saved us by the house.
Another feature, if you have that you're planning to use a lot of hyperlinks, you can click on properties. Picture of the home or property.
How did you get that picture? How did you get that?
That was the assessor's department.
There's no satellite they can get down that far.
This is all surveys integrated throughout all the departments in the city.
Although Google, you can. Google, you can get it.
Your street level picture?
Do they touch your level pictures? And they integrate it.
You can get the submitted plats or independent surveys. CSM, they've got properties from GIS.
I remember when Jack was trying to sell this to me, he said that there would be a time where you would be able to plot a chemical spill and watch the flume go across and then the evacuation of the people and then send that out to the fire department so that they would be able to respond instantly to that area.
McCamus is now, within a year, is going to make this such that you'll be able to dispatch from this. And it will figure the shortest distance for a police squad or a fire engine to get. And then they can actually have that live in their truck. Mm-hmm. And so within a year, they'll be able to do that with our maps.
What they hope for, Jack, also, I understand, is they'll be able to predict the past floods. If you have the data, you can be able to, like, if there's a disaster, a flood, the police can call to find the route to get to places for evacuation routes that are not flooded, roads that can be flooded, roadways.
We got to deal with pictometry now. McCamus does that. If we have a flood, they will at no cost to come out. If we have a bad flood, and they will photograph that for us.
I remember Jack also saying that if we put this in place, we probably would be able to pay for it from the staffing, the additional staffing. I think the staffing levels we have now are the same as we had in 2002 or something. And the population just hit 35,000.
Sure, last 6 months, didn't it?
Yeah, 15 years ago when I started at my previous job, they were just installing this kind of stuff at Brown County. And so, for instance, when I first started there, we get a subdivision plat. We always had to do everything in the field. So we had to drive out to the site, look at the site. You'd be able to print off big photographs of the area, and then you would match the photographs. We only had them once every 10 years, so you'd have to mark up that paper photograph of what's changed on that site. You know, has the wetland grown bigger? Somebody build a house without a permit? You know, where are the driveway connections and the road connections? You'd have to mark all that up on the map and take it back to the office and then review or compare that map to the subdivision plat the developer prepared. Come up with your suggestions for changes. You know, change the location of this road to save those trees, change the location of that road to match up with another driveway, that kind of stuff. And those field visits would often take the whole day. Now you can do all that never leaving the office.
Right.
And it takes minutes to a couple hours.
Now my campus is going to update the maps every 2 years. And we found a way. They used to have the stereo photograph. This guy was sitting in this machine and he would float this little ball around to get the elevations. Well, now they have what they call LIDAR, which they fly over and they use a laser beam that shoots down and they can take, I think it's 100 times more elevations. And it's all done automatically and plotted automatically, and it is a fraction of the cost of what we used to do. We did this the last time. The 2010 contour maps are 1 foot contour. We used to have 2 foot contour. They're more accurate, and they cost very, very little. So we're probably going to do topo maps every 2 years, and we'll have ortho maps. The ortho for pictures, the ortho maps. And we did a test this year because USGS doesn't recognize pictometry, but ICC has requested that we do pictometry because it really helps out the assessor. That's what you can get into the other all four sides of the house or building, so the assessor can look at all four portions of the building right from in the office, and it really helps them doing assessments. So Milwaukee bought that first, and now McCamus bought that for everybody. And we did a comparison for the whole nation here to try to show that pictometry, because they use different cameras, is just as accurate as the old method that USGS uses, because we want to be able to use USGS money in the future to do pictometry. But then it won't cost McCamus as much money. So, and they're doing that analysis right now, and our hopes are that we're going to be able to convince USGS, and the next time they fly, and Surfac flies every 5 years, but we'll probably, pictometry will fly every 2 years. And hopefully the next time that Surfac flies it, we'll be able to have USGS go in and accept those maps.
It's funny, I was with Marvin Pratt yesterday. The county's missing $20 million, so there may not be a lot of flights.
But this comes from the Register of the Deeds. This comes from Milwaukee County money. Every time you record a deed, $4 goes into the land information system, and $2 goes into the kind of the other. There's two parts of the land information system, but the part that's used on this, every time you register anything at the courthouse, you get $4. And so we've spent about $18 million now building this whole system. And I represent ICC, I represent all the suburban communities on this McCammon.
Jack walks in all the mayors that go to our attention.
It's a very impressive system. And it's not, it's only, I don't know, I don't know if they're not even close to this in the northern parts.
I think it's probably the best in the nation. One of the things, because of Kurt Bauer, it is so accurate. Kurt Bauer is a surveyor. He's a PhD engineer, but he's also a land surveyor. And the accuracy of our system is just fantastic. Probably none like it in the whole
thing. I had the new economic development director from Milwaukee County out here, and I showed him this and suggested that if, you know, for economic development for the, what is it, the something seven, the Milwaukee seven, that they may want to emulate this system instead of going out and creating, you know, all these custom made things that you can't integrate later on. So he's looking at it.
What are those like?
Numbers are elevations I put on the 2005 contours.
Oh, okay.
So the yellow color lines. Another layer option. But it's been said there are 100, 150 layers.
Right.
So there's no floodplain on that one, or is that the blue line?
So we could set up a terminal just for the plant.
That's that blue.
You can't
I
get this online. You have to come in. You can get most. You can get the basics.
I see it. Yeah. I see it. Very nice.
And we have both a 100-year and a 500-year.
Critical facilities should not be in 500.
And the website version does have some of these layers in there.
Do identify ones. Just pick out a parcel.
So you can search.
Find my house, 7549.
The River View?
Yeah, River View.
So all their data. After you search, it pops up with some of the property information, tax key, address, owner name. You can click on it, and that will go right to the property.
Okay, I'll be down a little bit.
And once you're there, the tool. Identify
Wisconsin's coach.
No. My wife's saying they're eating dinner and the game started.
Property information, automatic district, district number 5, welcome to Schmidt, bowling location, the sports complex, school district, it has the zoning, R6, and some do, this doesn't happen to have the zoning ordinance number to prove that zoning district.
Doesn't have the value balance.
It's not worth it.
No, that's not the
All right.
That's really great.
And it's getting better all the time.
And that's not been a problem so far with everybody accessing.
Just put it up a month ago.
I'm just worried about maintenance.
Yeah, I think it would be nice if the aldermen might be trained on this somehow.
If they're trainable?
Except for Trotsky, who's not trainable.
Yeah. Are we going to have a squirt bottle?
Yeah. Coachable? Yeah. Let's not go that far.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that.
I don't.
All right, well, I think there's probably one or more that want to go and see at least the end of it. So thank you very much. I don't have anything on the mayoral ad hoc. City Franklin Master Plan, I think we could delay that. Anything on the Trails Committee?
No? Just what just the three things that I know. We have the April 12th meeting for the Safe House of School at Pleasant View. That's a tentative date. I believe Nick's getting that set up. We asked the council for permission for Jack to make displays. I think they call it displays in the motion for showing alternative modes of transportation at 151st Street, and they'll be available for us at that meeting. And we're talking about having John Nicklick attend a conference in Minneapolis on behalf of the Trails Committee on the Safe House of School, and we're requesting some funding from the city to help them.
You can't have this thing in Vegas or anything.
We're looking to go to Vegas.
Well, isn't that the stop, and then you got to, isn't that part of the route?
I'll be at my
We think it's a worthwhile investment.
To be the exact opposite of Las Vegas.
We briefed the mayor, and eventually we will brief the council on that as well.
Okay, is there a motion to adjourn? It's been moved and seconded for discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
I